are kind of regular, but there was one phrase that kept coming up over and over, and it was, I was in a really dark place. I don't know if that's something, is that okay? Okay. So anyway, that made me start to think. And you know, if we went around this room, starting over here and going all the way around, we would hear story after story, maybe, almost exactly right, but about a difficult time that you had been through. And I'm not just talking about suffering as in pain. I'm talking about emotional pain or an event that has happened to you somewhere in your life. I'm talking about every kind of problem. So in 2 Corinthians 1:3, it says, this is a, wow, I can't tell you how many times I've turned to this verse over the 42 years I've been saved. I got saved as a hippie girl out of the college scene, and I walked into a Christian bookstore in my combat boots and shredded jeans, and I got a book by Dr. Ruckman, and I took it home and I got saved. So what a change, and then the change started, you know. Every thought that I had from the university was very, if it didn't just make common sense, but the thought, when you go to a university and you have young people that might go there, there is an agenda that is different than maybe you were raised with, and definitely what the church talks about. And from the very beginning, it was on. It was a time to change the thoughts and the minds of the people that came there. And you're going to have to have it really solid what you believe when you go, and hang on tightly to your beliefs, because it's not the same. I would actually have, when I would come home for the holidays from school, I would actually have to do a, this is when I'm lost, okay? So, but I would actually have to do a switch in my mind to go from the university thought, because I lived on the campus, so you're super immersed, and do a switch to back to regular folks, my brothers and sisters and things like that. So if you're going to go to the public university, make sure that you are pretty solid, you are really solid with your walk with the Lord. And that's not my notes, but let's go to 2 Corinthians. Where did that come from? 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And so I was writing the notes out for this talk that we're having today, and I imagined each one of you, or many of you, with a big card holding like this. And I imagined these words written on the card for each one word or two words. One would be cancer survivor. One would be chronic pain, divorce, widowed, prodigal, death of a child, miscarriage, postpartum, unfaithful spouse, negligence, barrenness, broken relationship. Each label would represent a very real dark place for a person here in this room. And, you know, in my children's curriculum, there was a task that they had to do, and they had to write their biography. I don't know if any of you guys had to do that, but the point was that they were supposed to write down the big events of their life. And that outline then they would take, and then they would write the story of their life from that outline. And, you know, as I thought about it, a lot of times young people don't have many events. Okay, I was born. Okay. And then you kind of go along smoothly. Some folks, sometimes the children have a divorce in the family. That is an event for a child. But when I was growing up, my life was shaped by the stories of my grandmothers and grandfathers and my parents about the Great Depression. And the Great Depression was a time of possibly the biggest downturn in the economics of America. So these people really had a rough time. So we were raised to be very careful with our money. And even later, when we didn't have to be so careful because now Dad had a really great job and we didn't have to be so careful, we were still shaped by that. And so what we find out is that sometimes the dark places, the hard times of our life will shape us for something. And I have been drawn to Psalm 142. If you would please turn there. If you would get Psalm 142 in one hand, let me get my glasses. Hopefully I have my glasses. Oh, they're there. I couldn't find them. I couldn't find my glasses. And I only had the pair where the sides go way out, like they look like plastic glasses because they're so damaged. And then at the last minute, the Lord let me find them. And I was going to come in with those, but they would have been like this old, you know, kind of thing. Okay, so Psalm 142, let's look at it real quick. Every word, remember, every word is for our learning. There's nothing in the Bible that isn't going to be a blessing to us in some way. So Psalm 142, and then in your other hand, get Psalm 57, and kind of toggle, we're going to kind of go back and forth. And there's a reason we're going to go back and forth between the two Psalms, because let's look at the top of Psalm 142. If your Bible looks like mine, in the little tiny print underneath, Psalm 142, it says, Maskil of David. Maskil is like a instruction for our learning, okay? A Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the what? He was in the cave, right? Let's go back to Psalm 57. 57. Let's read the little print under there. To the chief musician, Al-Taskith, and I don't speak Hebrew, so Miktam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. So there's two psalms that talk about his time in the cave. So that's why we're going to use these two psalms today to talk about the dark places and what we can learn from them, hopefully, in our lives. And if you haven't been there, then this would be something you guys could kind of store up until the time something rough might happen to you. You could say, ah, Mrs. Spurgeon talked about that. Let's read Psalm 142, verse 1. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Let's go over to Psalm 57, verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. So with my voice, when you were in that dark place, were you instantly in contact with God? Did you instantly get in the Spirit and instantly? No. A lot of times the first thing we do is our flesh reacts first, right? And our old man is crying the loudest, and then the Holy Spirit kind of takes over and starts to minister to us and talk to us. And, you know, even the apostles that walked every day with the Lord, remember when he was in the storm? They cried out. They cried out, we're going to perish. And here Jesus was in the boat with them, and they still kind of got in the flesh first. So yes, we do kind of do that. But with my voice, he cried out. Charles Spurgeon said that God taught David to pray while he was in the cave and to go to him while he was in the cave, because he'd be taken over the kingdom. He's going to have real big wisdom. And this is what Charles Spurgeon said. If God would make you greatly useful, he must teach you how to pray. Maybe David never had had him in. He was quite the big guy. He had killed this giant. I mean, he is quite well thought of. So he said that he must teach you how to pray. The man who is a great preacher and yet cannot pray will come to a bad end. A woman who cannot pray and yet is noted for the conducting of Bible classes What about that? And you're not praying? I mean, how can you really... If you can be great without prayer, your greatness will be your ruin. If God means to bless you greatly, he will make you pray greatly, as he does David, who says in this preparation for the throne, this very verse, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. And one of my all-time favorite books that I think each of you should get, and I might have mentioned it to you guys here before, is How I Know God Answers Prayer by Rosalind Goforth. She was a missionary to China. But it's just, it's small. It's not going to take a lot of time for those of you who say you don't like to read, but it will be a spiritual blessing to you. How I Know God Answers Prayer. So there's different kinds of prayer. Am I going in and out? I feel like I'm going back and forth. Okay, so there's a pain. So that is, with my voice, I cried unto the Lord. But I do want to mention that there are times that you don't even know what to pray. And Romans 8:26, and I'll just read it, says that, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And there are times you have no words. You have no words, and you just get down with God and cry, no words. It's just like a moan, because it says with groanings, and it's true. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Psalm 77:4 says, Thou holdest my eyes waking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. So there are times. Remember Hannah? She was so troubled about barrenness that she was praying and only her lips moved. She made no sound. So there are times during these dark places where, yes, you might cry out with your voice, or you might just be so burdened that you can't even make a sound. And I am really big on praying and crying out to the Lord. I know you guys know my testimony about how when my husband had Lou Gehrig's disease, and I would have to go get medicine that nobody else could get. They wouldn't give it to anybody else. So I would have to drive across town to get the medicine. I have a dying husband in the bed at home and three kids. And where could I cry? Where could I pray? Where could I cry out with my voice to God? I couldn't do it in the house because it would upset them. So when I would drive across town, I would cry loudly. I mean, I believe in loud crying, let me tell you. I would, and I would just get it out. I would just cry. It was therapeutic. Very therapeutic. Cry. Don't hold it in. Get by yourself and just really have a good cry. And let me tell you, it gets it out. And then you can be your soldier you're supposed to be. When I got back home, I was strong again. And because there were no tears left, let me tell you, I got it all out. And I learned to do that over time. So I want to tell you, just use your voice if you can, but then there are times when you just aren't going to be able to, that's for sure. But there, I wanted to point out, this is going way too fast. With my voice, did I make supplication? And supplication is a prayer for supply. You know, we intercede for people, we do different kinds of prayers, but supplication means I need something, Lord. Supply, supplication. And someone said, I don't think it's good to pray for money. I thought, wow, you need to be in evangelism. But I have to tell you a really good thing. So I need some money. I need some money because I need to have all kinds this was years ago. So I have to have all kinds of medical things done when I get home from like a 3-month trip. So I know I don't want to ask my husband for money. He gives me anything I want, and to his detriment, he would give me what I needed. But I wanted to go that next step with the Lord. So I prayed that God would give me money in my hand. So I prayed for that, and when I got home, there was a check in our mailbox, and it said, Dear Mrs. Hanstein, that was my name back then. Well, I was Spurgeon, but when they didn't know that. So this was from the government. And they said, "Dear Mrs. Hunstein, we neglected to pay you for your husband's last Army pension 10 years before. And here is $5,000. Now, I know that $5,000 was hanging around out there somewhere, right? Right? It was mine for all those years. It had my name on it. But God wanted to show me that I prayed for him to supply something, and he gave it to me with my name on it. It was a blessing. And so God is just, he wants to hear from you. He loves to hear from you. So if you need something, ask him for it. It doesn't have to be money. How about sanity? How about peace when something hard's happening? Okay, let's go to verse 2. I poured out my complaint unto him, before him. I showed before him my trouble. So this idea that poured out, totally drained of all self, these rough times can make you feel exhausted. And remember, Christ poured out his soul unto death for us. And he does understand. Remember, he is acquainted with grief. That's why God sent him in the body of a person, so he could understand what human beings go through, right? So he is acquainted. And remember that song, Jesus knows all about our sorrows. It's kind of an old Negro spiritual. But he does know all about our sorrows. And let's go to Psalm 22:14. I am poured out like water. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophetic psalm. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And I'll just tell you that in Psalm 62:8 it says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Wow. And it says before him. So let's go back to Psalm 142. In verse 2, it says, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. So before him, David went to the right place to help. And remember that in Hebrews 4:16, we have boldness and access right to the throne room. So don't wait. You try to get to that throne room as soon as possible when you're experiencing something. You know what I think? What we all need to work on, I need to work on, is that feeling of lack of peace. I think that when a lot of times we kind of like growls around within ourselves, and we're upset about something, or we're upset with somebody, or we're holding a grudge, or all that kind of stuff, and this is all going on, and we don't remember to go right to the Lord and ask him to help. Because it says we can go right. I poured out my complaint before him. Instead of telling all your buddies and all your lady friends and all the people around you about your complaint, how about starting with him? It says pour it out before him. He went right to the right place. He learned in the cave, in the dark place, to go to the right place. And another song, I kept thinking of songs as I was writing this. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. He does have strong shoulders. He does help. Let me tell you, he helps. One time, my husband was terminal, and he looked like a skeleton. And I just told God I couldn't go in that room one more time. I can't do this. I can't do it. I just cannot do it. And I told the Lord that. And he goes, we can do it together. Just as clear as I'm standing here, he put his arm around me and helped me go back in and do the things that I had to do for my husband. But it was with him. But he wasn't putting his arm around me before I asked him. He always showed me during that 2 years, he wants to hear from me. He wants to answer that prayer, because every time we ask him and every time he answers, we become stronger because our confidence in him grows, right? He just doesn't throw it all on us. He wants us to ask and here it says at the end of that verse, it says, I showed before him my trouble. Remember back there in that 2 Corinthians where it said, in any trouble? In any trouble. Like, okay, I've never been in jail, but I can go to jail and I can sympathize with those ladies. They'll say, I don't know where my kids are, because they've done something wrong. It's their own fault that they're there, but I can still extend sympathy to them because God gave it to me over here during a medical event, but now he gave it to me and now I can give it to somebody else. So I learned a lot during a dark time. 2 Kings 9:14, I'll just read it to you. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers. It was a really bad letter. And he read it. And he went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just knelt down and said, Lord, this is happening? Maybe not spread it out as a letter, but spread out the whole facts of the matter. And boy, does he take over, and he really changes things and helps us through things, I promise. Okay, let's go to verse 3. Psalm 142, verse 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Let's go back to Psalm 57, 6, the other one in the cave. Let me tell you, these are very similar. He's really learning a lot, that's for sure. Did I say 57? Verse 6, yes. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Notice it back there in verse 142. Psalm 142. It says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me." So that overwhelming thing. I'm sure we've all had a moment in our lives when we felt overwhelmed, even that life was too big. Just that, in many different situations. In Psalm, if you just want to jot this down, Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. You have that unpeaceful place in your heart? You have a dark place in your heart? Probably good to go to the rock that is higher than we are. Let's go to Psalm 102, verse 1. And it says, a prayer of the afflicted. How about that? When he is overwhelmed. So probably that would be a good psalm to kind of investigate on your own. Psalm, if you're afflicted. An affliction can be a medical affliction. It could be you're afflicted by somebody, right? So it could be a lot of different things. So that psalm would be good for you. But let's read, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and poureth out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. So when we're overwhelmed, that's the place to go. But look, he knew the path. It says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. So he knows, doesn't he? He does know. He knows the end. There's no mistake. There's no surprises to the Lord, and he knows how it's going to come out. Job 28:7 says, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. In other words, nobody knows the path. Nobody knows but God. Only God knows how it's going to come out. And you can try to figure it all out if you're in some kind of a situation, but you can't figure it out. There are some things that only God, it says, he knewest my path. He knows how it's going to come out. And he knows, you remember that little song? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. That's true. He does know the way. We don't know the way, so we need to get with him and just trust in him. And look, it also says, they privily laid a snare for me. So Saul's after David, but the one who lays snares and traps for us is the devil, right? the real one. He knows. He studies you, and he knows what you will fall prey to. He knows. He is a very evil, and I don't know how it is that he knows it, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask. But he studies us, and he knows just which trap to set for us. And it says, in the way wherein I walked. So in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And remember Psalm 1 where it said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So walking in the counsel of somebody that don't, you young people, if you have a problem, don't go to somebody that doesn't know anything or who's going to tell you what you want to hear or agree with you. The Bible says you're wise if you go to a wise reprover. A wise reprover. If you go to somewhere and that's not worthy of giving you advice, you're just going to get advice that's going to take you down the wrong path. So you want to take that Psalm 1 and never walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners. Or have you ever been with a scorner? Somebody that scorned God? That's not really the person you want to be around for a minute. I'd be afraid something would like come down and kill me, you know, kind of thing. So make sure you're walking where you should be, and God will bless you for it, because in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It's just so easy. So let's go to verse 4 of Psalm 142. And it says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Wow. I looked on my right hand and there was no man that would know me. You know, that isolation thing's pretty rough. That's what the devil tries to do. He tries to divide us from anybody that's good and that will be a blessing to us. And some folks, like when something bad happened, like when my husband was terminal, there were some folks that you couldn't find, friends you couldn't find. They were very uncomfortable coming to the house and seeing somebody in such a rough situation. Their friend. They couldn't come over. They couldn't see him. And then there's people in a difficult time that can get beyond themselves. And like my friend Peggy came 5 days out of 7. And she was able to just get beyond whatever that is that keeps you from being a blessing. And she was there. And here these big men couldn't come over. And I understand that there's just folks that can't do that kind of thing. But that isolation is the scary thing. And when you're in a dark place, sometimes it's... Okay, so somebody's having a problem and they can't come to church, right? Wow. They're away from a lot of things that could help them, right, during that difficult time. Like they've got all these friends, but they're over here. And then because they're over here, isolated in this medical event or whatever, people think they're just not coming to church anymore. So sometimes people stop praying for them. They're not seeing their face, and so they kind of go into obscurity. And those are the times, if you see somebody that's not in church, try to send them a card or something or call them and help them with that isolation, because the devil can really mess with you. Like, there was some really bad times, and the devil just, you know, I was there with Mike. Here's Mike's in the bed. It's, you know, you guys know how it is in winter, where it's dark outside day after day after day. There's no sun. Maybe it isn't that way here, but in Ohio, I mean, it's only white with black strips of trees, you know. There's nothing, and then the sky is gray, and you're there, and you're dealing with all kinds of horrible medical situations. That I'm not a nurse. I am not a nurse. I don't like blood. I don't. I mean, every bloody child I would just take to my husband. I didn't even look. I would not even look at the wounds. I would just, here, Mike. His name is Mike. So I just take, you do it. Well, then it was my turn, because now he can't do his own wounds and I have to do them. You know, and I had to grow up. And the Lord helped me with that. But anyway, that loneliness, the devil would just come in and say horrible things. I don't want to tell you what he said. But, you know, he would say things about giving up, about you'll never be happy again, there'll never be a rainbow for you. I mean, it's just an onslaught of you're alone over here, nobody remembers you. You know what I mean? It's just an amazing time. I can't even describe it, but I know the loneliness and isolation and getting you off by yourself can be a problem with long-term illnesses and other things. And, you know, one good thing is when I went off to college, we're all lost at that time. Now we're all saved. But when I went off to college, my older sisters would send me cards. Like I was doing my own thing. So they would send me cards, and they would send me $5. Back then it was a lot of money. They would send me cookies. They would call me. They would pull me back to family with their love, with just a little line. Just pull me in. Just a little string, just another little string. And they weren't even doing it consciously. I think they just saw that I could just keep going, and they just kept pulling me in. And that's what we can do for people that we see all of a sudden are having a problem. We can just use that love and pull them back to the family of our church, because church is really important. And that physical refuge, it says back there, refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Back there in verse 4, that's rough. So you don't want to fail somebody. Our refuge of, in this case, I'm talking about the church, we don't want to fail somebody when they're having a difficult time. Okay, let's go to verse 5. And I will try to hurry. I cried unto thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Psalm 57:1. Let's quickly go there. I'm talking too much because I'm not getting my this information done. Psalm 57:1. To the chief musician we are. Okay. It says, when he be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in ye. In thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. So just like the church can be a refuge and the church folks, the Lord is our refuge as well. Psalm 9:9 says, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. If you would just write these down, because I'm running out of time. So that's Psalm 9:9. And it's Psalm 59:16. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. God is my refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. So there's different ways that you can look at this trouble. Some are really, really rough and they're temporary. Some are really, really rough and they're more long term, like a child that lives for 20 years with a very serious disability. And it's every day you are doing everything for that child. Something like that. I'm just saying. That could be something where God just pours the grace out every day. And every day he gives you strength for that trial. But there's also the kind of trial that doesn't come out where you want it. And perhaps the person passes away. Because it says, but if not, so if not, we get to go to heaven, right? If it doesn't work out the way we want it, we get to go to heaven. And then let's look at verse 6. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And I'll just read you 57:3, where it says, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. For I am brought very low. So in this verse, we're talking about very low. Very low. Some of you that have been alive for a while, can you think back to the very lowest thing? When you're younger, you haven't had so many things happen, like, you know, big events, but I am brought very low, it says. Now listen, think about David. Again, a psycho was trying to kill him, had already thrown a javelin at him and tried to snuff him out. I mean, he's taking the whole army of Israel against him. He murders a whole town because David helped him. They helped David. Yeah, they helped David. He hated David, so he goes and he murders all this whole bunch of people. He's a psychotic man, and he's after him. And here David's been, you know, eating at the king's table, and David's been the king's son-in-law, and David has killed his thousands, right? 10,000s, right? Help me out, ladies. The numbers. But anyway, I'm just saying, he is way up here, and then he's brought to the point where he's trying to be murdered, and he has to hide out in this cave. And I think when he first got there, he was alone. So he did have that loneliness, because then the men started coming to be with him, and then his family came. But there was a time, and God wanted that time, because it was that time that God was speaking to him, and there was nobody else's voice in his head. So, the devil is a liar, right? And he can tell you all kinds of things, as I told you before. But it would be good that in the time of the light, when you're not in the cave, when you're not in a dark place, to get as strong as you can and to get some things in place. For example, if you are prone to going down the wrong place in your mind, like if you're kind of a person that is the negative person, then Philippians 4 would be good. Think on things that are lovely and pure, of a good report, right? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And if you can get yourself into a habit like that, then when the rough time comes, you already have that in place. If you have a type of prayer life where you just look up and say, okay, Lord, what do you think about this? And you're already having that wonderful thing between you and the Lord, that can help you during a difficult time. If you already are confessing your sin every day so that there's not something between you and the Lord, right? So, like, oh man, I can't pray for my brother had to be in the hospital yesterday. They took a liter of liquid off of his heart, the sac around his heart. So what if I had to confess like a lifetime of sins before I could get to, would you please help my brother? You know what I mean? So keep short accounts with the Lord, and make sure that you got a clean slate so you can go right to him for it. Let's look at verse 7. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou hast dealt bountifully with me. And then let's go to Psalm 57. 57:5. One of my favorite. I hope I wrote the right thing down here. I typed it. Psalm 57:5. So in the end of this cave experience here, he is praising the Lord. It says, and then, so he says, bring my soul out of prison, back in 142, that I may praise thy name. In Psalm 57, it says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O God, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. So we end up with praising God, don't we? And I have a book for that too. I tell you what, I felt so bookish today. It's called The Practice of Praise by Charles Spurgeon. And if you get it, because it's really old, like, I don't know where you get it, but it should be on the internet somewhere. But it's really old, but he just goes through helping you be more thinking about praising the Lord. And let me tell you, God loves praise. You cannot praise the Lord enough. You cannot thank God enough. And that's what David is doing. You know, he talked about pouring out his complaint to the Lord, right? He's pouring out all of his complaints. He's pouring out, this guy's going to kill me. He's persecuting me. But then he pours out the praise, right? So that's what we want to, that's the end of the story, is praising God. And let me tell you, I know I told you guys this on my testimony, but when Mike passed away, after 2 years of horrible things, and he was paralyzed from the eyes down, he could only blink the alphabet to tell me anything, and he was like the skeleton, he had gangrene in his body. It was a horrible, horrible situation, but boy, we were, and my kids were home, and we were so happy for him to be released from that. I couldn't even be sad when he passed away. I mean, I was mourning for 2 years, you know, the things that he was going through, and he just stepped into glory, and he stepped out of that horrible situation. And we were, even the children were praising, oh, thank God Dad is in heaven. Thank God he's out of that body. Thank God he's out of pain. Thank God he's out of suffering. And so I took him down to Panama City, and I told you this, I bought a really nice hotel room, and I opened up there, the wonderful air came throughout the Gulf of Mexico, and I just imagined it healing my children. And I felt safe enough, it was on the 10th floor, I felt safe enough so I could just open it up and let them sleep, and I would get up early and walk up and down that beach, and I said, thank you, Lord. Praise you. I thank you for bringing us out. I thank you that the children have a good attitude. I thank you for every moment of how you interceded. And yes, it was a really, really dark time. But look at the light at the end of this thing. Look what we learned spiritually. Lord, don't let me ever forget what I learned during a difficult and a rough time. And I do stand before you today, and I will tell you that it can be horrible and awful, but God will be better than all of it. And God will be there for you, and there will never be a shadow of turning. He's there, and he strengthens. But sometimes I've met a few people that would not accept his comfort because they got mad at him. So if you're not finding comfort in a dark place, you have to ask yourself, am I holding something against the Lord? Because he's there. He's the God of all comfort who comforts us in all of our troubles. But if you're mad at God, how can he break through that? Because you have to be right here with the Lord, right? So that you can get that comfort from the Lord. So remember, at that first word, it said maskil, you know, and I'm trying to find what maskil means. But all that I could come up with was instruction. So God's giving us instruction through these verses to help us during a difficult time. And there's no mistakes with God. And you're here for a reason today. And God's giving you some information that can help you during difficult times. And I would ask each of you to ask God to apply this to your life, or put it on the back burner until you do need this kind of thing. And so now I imagine that you've been through some rough times, and instead of having divorce or something sad on your name tag on this piece of paper that I imagine all of you, now I imagine a different scenario, and that would be a chosen. It would be stronger in the Lord, right? It would be supplied by God. Or I felt like I was his only child during that difficult time, or comforted, or I got to be a comforter, or I'm victorious because I got through something, and God was there and I'm stronger. And that would be really cool if that will happen for you someday. Lord, I thank you for this time with these ladies. Remind us, Lord, every day that we're not alone. Encourage us, Lord, to draw closer to you during these difficult times.